Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to Bundesliga for Beginners. Last weekend of the season this week, so a lot to fit in. As always, I'm Jamie Smith. I'll be hosting along with Kev, who's from the EPL Roundtable, the same channel that we're on. Jim and John are with us as well to talk about all the action from the last weekend. Most of the drama down at the bottom of the league, it looked going into the last weekend that it would be Werder Bremen joining Paderborn in the second tier, but that's not what happened. Unbelievable scenes, really. Werder Bremen 6-1 winners against Köln, and that meant that Fortuna went down instead after losing away to Union Berlin. So that means Werder will go into the relegation playoff. John, I don't think anyone saw this coming, did they? It seemed like it was a done deal that it was going to be Fortuna going into that spot. And within half an hour, with Werder 3-0 up, everything was changed.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that Werder Bremen were on the... I think they were even in Europe this season, weren't they? So they're a club that, as soon as last season, had their manager, Florian Kohfeldt, being lauded by people as a great tactician, well-respected amongst those sort of young laptop coaches like Julian Nagelsmann or Domenico Tedesco, players, managers like that. So with that in mind, you know, I was always under the sneaking suspicion that they might just about pull it out. And I think I even said on this podcast at one point, I said it was going to be between one of Werder and Dusseldorf in terms of the results that they picked up. It was just a race to the end, and they've just about managed to do it. But yeah, an absolutely resounding result this weekend, which will stand them in good stead, I think, for the playoff games.
Yeah, we'll talk about the playoffs a bit later in the show, because that was very dramatic on Sunday as well. Jim, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, we were talking about Fortuna against Dortmund when they got done by that Erling Haaland header right at the end. And we thought that might be a bit of a psychological blow. It looks like that's what's happened for them.
Yeah, they have shown very, very little since that. I suppose, they did get a couple of... draws. They drew with Leipzig, didn't they, and also Augsburg last week. But I think it showed just what that point would have meant if they'd managed to hold on. Like, they've been okay, I think, since the resumption, but obviously they were in such a hole to begin with that they really needed to start turning draws into wins. And to be fair to Werder Bremen, that's what they've done. They haven't drawn a lot of games since they came back, and obviously the resounding win, as you said, 6-1. On the final day of the season has kept them in it. And, you know, historically, I guess the Bundesliga teams have a good record, right, against the Bundesliga 2 teams. So they should be fairly confident, I guess. You don't want to count your chickens too soon. But if they can put anything close to that kind of performance in, then I think they should be fine, especially over two legs.
Yeah, recent history does strongly favour Bundesliga teams in that playoff. 8 of the last 11, I was reading today, have been won by the Bundesliga team. Like I said, we'll come on to that a bit more later. Kev, I suppose it's probably good for the Bundesliga that Werder have got a good chance of staying up. One of the bigger teams around, won the title not that long ago, 2004, I think it was. So, like John says, team that's been in and around Europe recently, whereas Fortuna Dusseldorf probably not going to be missed by too many people.
Yeah, as you guys have said, it is a shame after that Dortmund match that Fortuna do have to go down. But as John said, yeah, they were in Europe pretty recently, if not this season. Also, everyone's always known the difference between them and Wolfsburg. So yeah, really, really big club there. But yeah, I mean, a lot more recognizable players. Of course, former Everton legend Davy Klaassen there in midfield. But yeah, you'd imagine that the Bundesliga will be better for having the stronger side up. Even though it's that close, and we've mentioned on previous shows that the table doesn't tend to lie, just in terms of stature there. yeah, you'd imagine that things will be better with Werder Bremen up, and maybe now that they've established their safety this year, they can kind of kick on next year. But it's going to be really interesting to see how the Bundesliga shakes out next year with me paying attention to it from the beginning, because we've gotten like this like short snippet of the drama towards the end of the season without really knowing the context, much as John has tried to answer my insane questions throughout the course of these shows. But yeah, I think it'll be really fun watching to see if some of these clubs that have struggled, that have typically been bigger, like Schalke, like Werder Bremen, are able to perform closer to their name would suggest. Or if it'll be something like the Premier League, where fairly regularly clubs with massive histories have gone down to the Championship, like Newcastle or Villa of late.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see further bounce back. Like John says, their coach was very highly regarded a couple of years ago, one of the young coaches in the Bundesliga, along with like some Nagelsmann, Marco Rosa this season, considered in that sort of company. But obviously they've struggled this year, so it'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back. In terms of our eyes, I suppose we were more focused on the top of the table on Saturday when all this stuff was going down.
The what now? I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. We previewed these games on the show last week, and I think we were all in agreement that it seemed like Gladbach were just about going to pip Leverkusen to the post. And Jim, your boys got the job done with a reasonably comfortable home win.
Yeah, it helped that Gladbach scored early, because I think it kind of alleviated any nerves. Obviously at 1-0, knowing that Bayer Leverkusen were winning as well, it was never really a done deal until quite close to the end. But yeah, Hoffman and Mbolo again. So Gladbach have been without player and Thuram for a little while now, which has kind of stretched the attacking options, I guess. But Hoffman got on the score sheet last week and did so again this week, and then returned the favour for Mbolo in the second half. And he got a goal which kind of made things a little bit more easy breathing, watching it from a Gladbach angle. Did concede a goal at the end, so it was a little bit like nerve-wracking towards the end, just in case there was a last gasp equaliser which would have put Leverkusen into that final Champions League spot. But yeah, I mean, we've talked in the past about my Leicester affiliation in the Premier League. I'm not sure if they're going to make the Champions League at this rate, but at least I might have one team out of the two in the Champions League next season, which is good. Although I guess Mönchengladbach will go in at quite an early stage in terms of the qualifying and stuff, so there'll be an opportunity to watch them through those rounds, and hopefully they get through. Yeah, that's a good shout. I'm not sure, but
is it the same as the Premier League, John? Now in the fourth place goes straight into the group stage.
I'm not sure with Germany, because it was as recent as a couple of seasons ago where there was still a playoff that they had to go through to get to the full Champions League. If you'll remember, Julian Nagelsmann's Hoffenheim lost to Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. I don't know
whether or not that's changed since then. I think it may have done, because presumably the Premier League would have had a playoff place as well back then. Yeah. If Liverpool were playing in it as well. So,
I think all the big leagues now have automatic passage.
I think you're right.
Good. I'll be happy with that, because, like you say, going into that fourth place, if you do get a random assignment, and you know, it can be quite tricky sometimes, because you can get the second place team from a decent league, which can be a tricky assignment, especially early on in the season. It's a bit of like it's almost like an extended pre-season, isn't it? Where you play in July or early August before the league campaign's kicked off, and that can be a little bit tricky to get past.
And what would that look like now, since it's already July, basically?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Everything's up in the air. But yeah, at least if you can count on your place in the group stage, then it kind of gives you a chance to plan accordingly, and you don't have to start your pre-season pretty much as soon as you finished your previous league campaign. Although, obviously, in the Bundesliga's case, they'll have a nice extended break, I should imagine now, given that they finished a whole lot earlier than the vast majority of teams that are in Europe and that haven't curtailed their leagues. Like Ligue 1. So yeah, it's maybe the Bundesliga teams are primed for a really decent run next year at Europe. Obviously Bayern are still in it this year, but I think given that extended rest, they might be going into it with a decent chance, because they'll probably be the only league that are well rested going into the Champions League in terms of the turnaround time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether the Bundesliga is then first to start the next season as well. You'd assume it will be, but I don't know if UEFA or whoever will want people to start on the same sort of schedule. I don't know how that's going to work out. Obviously, the European competitions to get done first anyway. As far as the rest of the teams in the top four went, Bayern ended with 4-0 win, I think it was. There's one little bit of information from that. Thomas Muller did break the Bundesliga assist record, 21, I think he got to.
And warranting got how much we've talked about him.
Well, exactly. So we don't have to talk about him this week, which is good. Leipzig finished third after beating my Augsburg boys 2-1. Timo Werner became the record scorer in Leipzig's long and proud history of, what is it, 5 years or whatever. So he's gone out on a high before heading off to Chelsea. Of course, he's not going to play in the Champions League for Leipzig, which is an interesting call. And Borussia Dortmund got battered 4-0 on the last day. Not really sure what happened in that one. But your boys, Kev, needed a favour from Hertha, was it?
Yep.
That Gladbach were playing, and that never looked likely to happen. So it rendered the win over Mainz a little bit irrelevant in the grand scheme of things.
Sure did. So in the last show, we were talking about how Leverkusen just dropped points to Hertha and how we needed them to show up 2 weeks in a row, and they kind of didn't, although Jim said they did make things nice and nervy there towards the end, but they would have had to win-win based on goal difference for Leverkusen to have gone through, which obviously did not happen. As for the actual match, Kevin Volland scored an actual real-life human goal, which was really nicely set up and finished. In the first half, a few more chances throughout the rest of the match, but not much more. No shots after the 75th minute, I want to say. It was the win that you needed, but as you say, didn't get the help elsewhere, didn't get the wins against Schalke or Hertha that they needed to be able to walk through the end of the season holding on to that Champions League spot. So, yeah, pretty disappointing on the whole. Did ask Jim if he could just not. I think I laid the responsibility at his feet individually, and he said he might crumble.
You vastly overestimate my ability to influence Gladbach in any way, shape, or form. I didn't even know if they had a playoff to get into the Champions League, mate. So you don't want to be asking me for any favours about that kind of qualification.
Fair. But yeah, so as you say, no favours there. It raises a whole host of questions about what's next for Leverkusen for some of the young star players, most namely, obviously, Kai Havertz. Kind of loosely reminds me of the kind of handshake agreement that Bale and Tottenham had in his last season, that if we made Champions League, he would stay to fight in it. And if we didn't, he'd basically just pack his golf bags for Madrid. And then that's obviously what he did, kind of getting a similar vibe here. Wouldn't imagine it'd be too easy to hold on to him with no Champions League football to look forward to. But yeah, we'll just kind of see where all that goes. As John mentioned, it is based on how much money has been spent, probably should have been able to make it. So whether or not any heads get chopped because of that failure to qualify for the Champions League obviously remains to be seen. Still some stuff left with the Europa League and obviously the DFB Pokal final. But yeah, pretty disappointing. Not an incredible performance by any stretch, but good enough to get the win. But set ourselves up in a position where a win wasn't enough.
Yeah, I saw a couple of stats, actually. Volland, who we seem to complain about almost as much as Niederlechner for Augsburg, double figures 3 years in a row, which is pretty good. And Leverkusen ended with 5 more points than last season, but ended a place lower in the table.
Yeah, so that came up a lot in the post-match commentary, was they just kept harping on the last year finished with 58, this year finished with 63, to emphasize that the team's gotten better, even if it didn't equal a Champions League place. Here's a random question, John. I assume it's Mönchengladbach that jumped up that wasn't previously in it?
Yeah, I think that it's been them. It's quite interesting, actually, looking at the teams that have gone up, because both RB Leipzig and Gladbach are the sort of smart teams. So the teams who haven't spent maybe quite as much money per salary. And it's interesting to see that they've leapfrogged Leverkusen. In Gladbach's case, they're the seventh team when it comes to wage salary. So it's interesting seeing the way that they've broken their way in. So I think it's something that we're looking at, particularly I think in terms of with COVID-19, that it seems as though that a lot of the smart clubs are going to struggle to actually spend the sorts of money that they're used to being able to spend. So it may be the case that actually in the next couple of years, if we do see a global recession, teams like Leipzig and Gladbach might lose a little bit of their edge. When we're seeing teams like Chelsea just being happy to spend a huge amount of money just because they are owned by an oligarch, I think that will change the outlook of what the top four is going to look like.
Yeah,
I was going to bring this up a bit later actually, but since we're on Gladbach, I was reading this week that apparently they've already put in an offer of 25 million euros for the Ghent striker, Jonathan David, who's one of the hottest properties in Europe right now. Jim, I don't know if that's like planning ahead for maybe player or Thuram being snapped up or a case of supplementing that attack, but it certainly seems like Gladbach still have some finances to rely on. I suppose being able to be back in the Champions League is a big help on that front. They'll be able to budget for that income as well.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice, I guess, if it was just squad bulking in terms of like the extra games and the quality needed. But you've got to think if, I mean, I don't have any intimate knowledge of Gladbach's finances, but I can imagine if you're spending that kind of money, which isn't, you know, a drop in the ocean, then there might well be a suspicion that somebody else from the forward line will move on, whether it be Mbolo, Thuram, player, one of the three, because I don't really see how you could keep everyone happy in that situation. Obviously, Mbolo's been starting the last couple of weeks, but that's more kind of enforced by injury. He was being used more as either a wide player or an impact sub. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, from my point of view, obviously adapting Gladbach at a fairly late stage of the season, it would be great if that player and Thuram combination stayed for another season, particularly given how well they worked together in the last few weeks of the season and how impressive they've been. It would be really good to see them both playing on the same team. But then again, it's perfectly understandable that there may be several clubs in Europe that have got eyes on those players as well, especially if German clubs, because of the COVID-19 and the impacts on the finances, perhaps it makes it more, makes them more susceptible to the likes of Premier League clubs picking up the players that they would normally have turned down offers for. It might well be that everyone's asking price takes a step down if there's a financial impact of that. So yeah, hopefully everyone stays together as a unit, because you don't want to see a team picked apart, especially when they're back on the top table of Europe. But I suppose you can never really be sure, especially going into a season, you know, fourth, you've got a chance that you're going to get picked off a little bit, which would be a massive shame. I guess it's a situation that RB Leipzig are kind of facing a little bit as well with Timo Werner moving on. You know, they've got to find a replacement for his goals and hope that, you know, they don't fall off that perch of top four teams next season as well.
Yeah, Leipzig as well seems to be already moving in the market. I've seen that they were in for the Salzburg striker, Wang.
I wonder how they found out about him.
Yeah, obviously the scouting network has really caught trumps there. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that one went through. I suppose Gladbach being in the Champions League makes it more likely in a way that these players will give it maybe another year. And it's so up in the air what's going to happen with the transfer market. We're not sure when the window's going to close, if teams are going to have more time. That might mean that players stick around for longer. Even the Premier League, traditionally the league where there's the most financial muscle, that would be snapping up these players. I don't know if it's going to be teams spending that much money this summer. Maybe Chelsea, who have got, like you say, the oligarch owner and seemingly a limitless budget. Again, now the financial fair play seems to have been totally forgotten about. But clubs like Arsenal don't seem to have any money. Liverpool have indicated they're not going to spend, because how do you furlough all your staff and then go out and spend a lot of money on players? It seems like a bit of a strange dichotomy. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, Juventus.
Yeah, exactly. We talk about Havertz all the time, Kev, but what's your feeling on that situation? He seemed a bit non-committal.
He gone. That's my very unprofessional assumption. He's just too prolific and good to be playing in the Europa League. I mean, I don't want to be denigrating like that. Obviously, a lot of really good players have played in the Europa League and have gone to teams that are in the Europa League, even if they previously have been at Champions League level clubs. But I think he was the player of the month last month. He's just, his star is rising very, very quickly. I mean, I guess there's a chance that he wants to stay, especially if he's given the chance to start up front where he played so well. since the restart. And he thinks maybe he needs 1 year to develop more before going to a place where he's guaranteed to be a star at the next level. But yeah, I'm not crossing anything in the hopes that he will stay for thinking that that will be a waste of energy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Fair enough. Let's move on to Freiburg then. Massive results to end the season, John. 4-0 win, was it, at home? Couldn't really have a better result to go into the off-season.
Yeah, I think it was just a real testament to the different seasons that Schalke and Freiburg have had, really. I think Freiburg knew that they where they were going to finish. They could maybe have been overtaken they were pretty close to Frankfurt, I think it was, could have overtaken them if they'd lost, but that was about it. And they knew they weren't in Europe, so it was, I think, for them a chance to just go out and enjoy the season that they've had. And obviously for Schalke, it's potentially David Wagner's final game. I didn't think Schalke played particularly badly. I just think that Freiburg were just ruthlessly efficient and got everything done as they needed to. And it was just nice to see the Freiburg team sort of showing up for the last time, as it will look. Although having said that, they did field an interesting team, because they dropped Robin Koch, who's been interesting clubs around Europe, and they did drop Alexander Schwolo as well, the goalkeeper, who's likely to be off this summer as well. So this was just a sort of maybe early doors view of what the lineup might look like next season, although they did bring those other players on later on. It was a really nice way to end the season. Really, really efficient finishing, lots of goals, and it sort of, as I said, typifies the difference between Freiburg and Schalke this season.
Yeah, Schalke couldn't really have had a worse post-coronavirus lockdown end to the season, could they? I think they only got 1 point or something. They're absolutely abysmal. That might have been a bit against Augsburg, actually. I'm not sure they got any other results. Is it just those two lads that you mentioned that you're worried about moving on? Is there anyone else that could be snapped up?
I think that will be it. Yeah, just those two. And that's the model that they adopt. It's, you know, you pick up players cheap, do what you can with them, and hope that you sort of get a good return of investment of them. If Robin Koch does go somewhere, like I've seen that Spurs have been interested in them, and there's been that Leeds United link for a while, although I'm not entirely sure Leeds would go for him. But if they can sell to a Premier League side, they'll certainly make a decent return of investment there. And as for Schwolo, there's been a few clubs in the Bundesliga who are quite interested in him. I've heard Hertha Berlin, who now have a fair amount of money to spend compared to what they've done in the past, are quite interested in him. And I'm sure there'll be interest from elsewhere as well, because I think Freiburg as a club, you know, they've got a good pedigree in that sort of feeder sense. And there will be Premier League teams also looking for goalkeepers as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Schwolo as well.
Yeah, so Freiburg finished eighth, just outside the Europa League places. Just to wrap up our teams, my Augsburg lads lost to Leipzig 2-1 that one, which meant they finished 15th, just above the relegation playoff place. However, the big news today was that Augsburg won the virtual Bundesliga, which, as we all know, is the real quiz. So that's the one that counts. The actual Bundesliga, no one's that bothered about. The virtual Bundesliga is where it's at, and Augsburg are the champions.
Who do you think they'll target for the E-Champions League next year?
I don't know. But I'm certainly going to be more supporting the virtual Augsburg rather than the actual Augsburg, who are terrible and I hate them. So yeah, let's leave Augsburg there and not discuss them for a long, long time.
Was that was that your last match as an Augsburg air quotes fan?
Yeah, I think it probably was. They're a difficult team to love, and I already have a team that I have to support that I don't really like a lot of the time. So I don't think I need to add Augsburg to the Burnley pit of misery that I'm in every weekend as it is. I think that's enough. So I'm certainly going to be in the market for a new Bundesliga team next season, I think. Kev, one of the things we wanted to talk about this week was how Bundesliga clubs use their Twitter accounts. You noticed something about Leverkusen during the game.
Yeah, so almost brought this up while we were talking about it. But so Leverkusen and a lot of German clubs, as we've talked before, I think on one show, tend to have pretty lighthearted, jokey Twitter accounts. And some people take umbrage with that. Other people are largely fine with it. I'm sure younger fans find it very amusing to watch clubs banter back and forth, even though they're probably coming from different computers in the same room. But for the most part, I find it just to be lighthearted, not too meaningful. I find it weird when things like RB Leipzig sell Werner to Chelsea and then make a joke tweet about how he's already good at scoring goals against Tottenham and then like shared a goal from the Champions League this year. That's a little weird, but for the most part, find it pretty harmless and inoffensive. But I was really surprised that in the middle of a match that they were winning but weren't getting the result they needed in the Hertha Gladbach match, that they were doing joke tweets. They were retweeting fans of Hertha, trying to encourage them to get a goal. Did the same thing for the actual Hertha account. In the middle of it, somebody said, please win this match so that I can get a Champions League Diaby card and ultimate team next year. Like, why are you engaging with that in the middle of a match that decides whether or not you get Champions League? And then when you don't, tweet out things like in a passive-aggressive way about how you're going to still have a chance in the Pokal and in the Europa League. It just seemed like a really weird time to do stuff like that. And obviously in the Premier League, you won't get that much because of the fan blowback that you would get if your club missed out on the Champions League by 2 points because you didn't win either of your last two matches against teams that you should have beaten, and now you want to make a joke about FIFA. It just seems like a really, really bad touch and like something that wouldn't happen in the Premier League. But I know we've talked about the social media accounts in the past, but would you guys have been surprised with that? Like, Jim, if all of a sudden Gladbach had started losing that match and they had been like, haha, lols, hope we don't blow Champions League, like, wouldn't that have touched a weird tone?
Don't care. Doesn't matter. Like, just doesn't affect the players. And Bolo doesn't know that some 17-year-old interns tweeted about Ultimate Team on the team Twitter account. Like, I appreciate it's not a good optic necessarily, but that's the world we live in these days. Everyone wants to do things in a different way, I guess, and not get that voice. And it does seem like the Bundesliga Twitter accounts are maybe a bit more engaged and a bit more jovial than their Premier League counterparts. The Gladbach one was sharing pictures of the players having a beer on the pitch after the game and saying, you know, we've earned a drink because of the fact that they were obviously in the Champions League after missing out by one place last season. So, yeah, but ultimately, I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. The people that it affects have no impact on the actual game. So I wouldn't be that bothered. But again, I appreciate I'm in the position of not seeing my team miss out and then make a joke about it. So I might feel differently if it was the other way around. But
well,
yeah,
you mentioned it's bad optics, but isn't the point of a PR team who I'm sure is in charge of the Twitter optics?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you're going for, doesn't it? I mean, you can imagine a lot of these social media guys, and like you say, some of them could, I don't know whether, I'm guessing each team has a social media team rather than being run by one agency, but we've seen often that players, for example, will all tweet out exactly the same thing multiple times, which has just been provided to them by a marketing exec in a PR firm, and they just send them, like, you know, copy and paste tweets.
You tweet something like
fans were great, sorry we didn't get the result, we'll be back better next time, fire emoji, and then just log off,
and muscle emoji,
so, yeah, fire, yeah, all that stuff. I think we maybe put a bit too much stock on it in the terms of, like, it's just noise, isn't it? Like, who cares, really? But I can appreciate it, it irks people. But the point is that I guess a lot of those teams will almost not try to be divisive, but try and be more engaging through a little bit of controversy, like retweeting other fans, things like that. All they care about is that they've got a tweet that goes quote-unquote viral, right? Like something that gets liked and retweeted by enough people to grow their, again, in quotes, brand to the point where they get a bigger reach for the stuff, you know, that actually matters to them further down the line. So it's a weird world we live in, but by hook or by crook, you know, they're going to go after those huge audiences. And they don't have the star power necessarily in the global marketing of like a Arsenal or Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, et cetera, where they're going to pick up fans naturally necessarily. So, yeah, I guess they're just looking at it a slightly different way.
Yeah, I wonder if, obviously, I don't speak German, so I don't know if it's the case, or if they do this sort of banter on like the original club accounts in Germany, or if it's just in German, should I say, or if it's just something for the English accounts. Obviously, we've heard that it's the same company that runs a lot of these accounts. Don't know how accurate that is. I remember a couple of times, actually, when English club accounts have tried to do similar things and they've ended up having to apologise because English people apparently can't take a joke, and we have the stereotype about German people not having any sense of irony or humour. So it's quite strange the way it works out. And Kev raised this, actually. We were talking about it before we started recording. I was looking at some of the other teams, and I went straight to Schalke because they just lose every week, so I thought I'd have a look at what they were doing. And they tweeted about six times during the match, lost 4-0. One was just a sad face with 2-0 as a half-time score. They tweeted, Waldschmidt, 1-0, 2-0 to the hosts. Then the second half, they just tweeted, wow, Waldschmidt again, and then full-time 4-0. That was much more like an English Twitter account.
Whoever runs that isn't paid by the tweet, are they? They're just getting a flat fee no matter what they're tweeting.
Exactly.
I'd have just continually tweeted the gif of like the little teddy thing in the fire and just like holding his cup, like, this is fine. That over and over again. I think that just sums up their season, to be fair, doesn't it? Yeah. But yeah,
it's not chasing numbers. No, the only thing that's ever annoyed me with club social media, I support Burnley, and I think they still do it. They've got a habit when the other team scores of still tweeting "goal" in capital letters as if it's something to celebrate. So it doesn't matter who scores, it gets the same reaction from Burnley's official Twitter. And fans have complained about this for years. I appreciate it's a small thing, and I'm sure people listening who support clubs that have things much worse are like, this is the only thing that annoys you about your team. But yes, I am that petty. I hate it, and I wish it would stop.
Somebody needs a social media style guide where it's like, if opposition score, do this. If we score, get out the caps lock. If not, don't do it.
Exactly. It's very annoying. John, can you shed any light on this club Twitter thing? Like, why is it that Bundesliga clubs seem to have this unique sort of voice?
I think it goes back to the fact that there's a sort of paranoia amongst the Bundesliga that it's not as popular as some of the other big clubs. And so a lot of those English accounts are run by people in America who I think they see as being a potential audience. And so I suspect that maybe American sports team accounts are a little bit more jokey than perhaps English ones. But I think it goes back to that. But for me, it's kind of easy because Freiburg, everything they do is so sort of cool. they just don't engage with anything like that. So I've not had to have my head in my hands being like, what on earth are you thinking? But I personally don't like it. I think it's just a bit gimmicky.
It's a bit cringe.
Cheap. It's a bit cheap, I think. But I suspect that it all boils down to any publicity is good publicity. And if you can get people engaging with your account, even if you're annoying people, I think the thinking is that the people who like it are the people who aren't already watching it. And the people who don't like it are going to watch it anyway. So that sort of logic sort of governs the whole thing.
This is the thing with Twitter, though, isn't it? Like, now that you get replies from people you follow to accounts that you don't follow, it's almost like engage at all costs, because then you just see the original tweet anyway. So it's like John says, all publicity is good publicity in that sense, that all you need to do is get people replying to something, even if it's just telling the person posting it that they're a moron. Like, a lot of their followers will then see that, and then that increases the reach and the engagement.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because I think some of the really big clubs, like when I was a proper football writer and I had to like look at club Twitter accounts all the time for the news and stuff, your Barcelona's and your Real Madrid's, their Twitter presence is really dry. They don't really try and engage. They don't try and do banter, because I think they've got enough pulling power that they don't really need to do that. People are probably going to follow those clubs anyway. They're famous enough. So it seems like some of the Bundesliga clubs are maybe trying to make a name for themselves through Twitter output. The example I always think of is Roma, who probably got the best club Twitter in European football, if that's like an award. Theirs is incredibly good, very, very engaging. They come up with clever videos, got their own campaigns. So they came up with this campaign about missing children in that part of Italy that was very good. So I think a lot of clubs are sort of trying to copy your Romas of the world. Kev, so to wrap up the discussion, what would you rather see from a club Twitter account than this sort of thing?
In the situation that was currently happening? Probably silence.
All that overall. Just nothing. Just pretend it's not happening.
Yeah, or just talk about your match and don't dip into the Hertha fan base to discuss what's happening outside of it. Like I said, on the whole, I think it's largely fine. I think I'm more on John's side of not loving it, but if it's what keeps people engaged, or if it is trying to get people in from outside audiences, which obviously, I was going to say worked on us, but that's absolutely not why we started following the Bundesliga. But I just think it's a bit gimmicky, I guess, as John was saying. And maybe I'm just fine with it in certain circumstances and not others. And maybe that's the issue, is maybe they're just going to be like this all of the time. And so the times when it's kind of funny or genuinely funny, you just have to put that in one column to offset the ones like this, where it's like, why would you do that? Maybe pick your battles a little bit more there, German English language Twitter accounts.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to have a strong opinion on it, because, again, like Burnley's is quite dry. They don't really go in for this kind of stuff, presumably because they don't employ a Twitter person, because that would cost money. But to move on to the next part of the show, the last thing we're going to talk about is the relegation playoffs that we touched on at the start of the show. This will be like the end of the season. So, John, can you just give us a quick overview of how it works, this playoff situation? Obviously, not all leagues work in this way, so it's quite different for a lot of people.
So as we'll know from the podcast so far, there's the third from bottom team in the Bundesliga is in a relegation playoff, and it plays against the team that finishes third from top in the Bundesliga 2, the Zweite Bundesliga, is this time around is going to be Heidenheim. There was quite an exciting game, as you mentioned it, today, where Heidenheim got beaten by Arminia Bielefeld, who are going to be up next season in the Bundesliga, along with VfB Stuttgart. If Heidenheim had won, they would have been guaranteed the third place spot. They got hammered in that game by Arminia, which meant that Hamburger SV had the chance to actually steal their space in the third place, but they ended up getting hammered. I can't remember what it was in the end. Was it 5-1? Something.
5-1, yeah.
There's a flurry of goals at the end, which really did for them. But yeah, so there will be two legs between Heidenheim and Werder Bremen, and they will be taking place on either side of the Pokal. So I think it's on the 2nd and 6th of July, and the Pokal's on the 4th. And it's like a playoff game in the championship, apart from the semi-final format is being used in the final. So it's two legs. And I can never remember whether or not the away goals count, but I don't think they do. But don't quote me on that. But I find these games exceptionally fun, just because, you know, it's just a really unique game in top level football that you have a playoff like this. And last season, Union Berlin won, so they were a bit of an outlier insofar as the teams that that come up from the Zweite Bundesliga usually lose, as we've mentioned already. But VfB Stuttgart lost last season to Union in the playoffs. In fact, away goals do seem to count, I think, because it was they won on away goals. So there's that clarification. So yeah, it will be, I think, a really fun game between Werder Bremen and Heidenheim. And yeah, I think that you've got to consider Bremen the favourites, but it will be a fun game, I think, either way.
Yeah, obviously in England we're used to the playoff format being teams from the same league fighting for a guaranteed promotion place. But I think in France they have something similar. I want to say that they have a relegation promotion playoff in France as well. So Germany's not out there on their own. The question, I suppose, does it not mean that in the second tier, does it not end up being a load of teams in the middle of the table that just have nothing to play for the last few weeks? You think of a league like the Championship in England, where now there's a handful of games to go and there's still probably eight teams trying to get into that last playoff place. Bundesliga wouldn't have that sort of excitement.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the table now. So so Heidenheim finished with 55 points and Hamburg finished with 54. And then you've got Darmstadt on 52. And Stuttgart were there and thereabouts as well, going in. They had 58 points. So yeah, there's probably about four teams playing for it. But yeah, I guess the gap between the top and the bottom opens out a little bit more. I think you still have the same sort of excitement in terms of deciding who will be in that place. But obviously you have those same sort of battles in the Championship, where it's a fight over the top two and then the fight over the next four. So I think there's maybe a bit of a depth thing there. But just from my own experiences as being a Championship fan, at the moment in the Championship, you sort of look at the table and there's probably like three of the teams who are going to go up in the playoffs are already settled now. Sure. So you still have that sort of final playoff place in the actual Championship playoffs, I think. So it sort of roughly works out similar. It's just that you don't have two or three teams above who are pretty much settled in the position where they're going, depending on whether or not they're going to finish in the top two as well. But I think that just means that there's a bigger gap maybe between the teams that have got something to play with or play for, at the end of the season.
Sure. Just to go back to Hamburg, I watched the end of this game actually to see if they could get back into it, and the apart. They were obviously trying to chase the game, similar to Fortuna on Saturday. Fortuna was sending the goalkeeper up for set pieces with like 15 minutes to go. They were so desperate. It was a sort of similar situation with Hamburg. And just to link it back to the discussion we were just having about club Twitter accounts after the game, Hamburg's English account tweeted, "If you can't beat Sandhausen at home, then you don't deserve to play in the promotion playoff. Congratulations to Heidenheim." We can't put our disappointment into words. That's a real talk from the person tweeting off their mobile phone, slagging off all the players. I really enjoyed that. That's really good. Jim, I think Leicester have had some experience of the playoffs in England recently, haven't they? I mean,
yeah, we've been terrible. So thanks for bringing that up.
I honestly couldn't remember.
Incredible final, wasn't there? Where the ball went from one end to the other. So.
Yeah, that was in
the Watford one.
Do you remember that game?
I do. I cried actual tears after that game. Actual tears. And you just brought it right back.
Then in a couple of seasons, you won the Premier League.
And cried different tears then. So that's good. But yeah, so Leicester haven't been particularly good at playoffs recently. In the kind of modern era, we did go up many years ago when I was first starting to get into football in the 90s. But yeah, recently we lost in the semi-finals against Watford. And as John says, there was the incredible end-to-end thing where Leicester missed a penalty that would have put us through had the scores stayed like that, and we scored. And then Troy Deeney scored for Watford up the other end to pretty much put a nail in the coffin. So yeah, it's quite the ride, the playoffs. I still think they're amazing in terms of like the excitement that they generate at the end of every season. I don't think you can beat, especially like the semi-finals and stuff. Sometimes the finals can be a little bit dry because there's so much on the line. Like, you know, they get touted as the 100 million plus game every year, which is, you know, it just, the cost just, well, the money on the line spirals out of control. But we've seen some absolutely amazing two-legged playoff games in the Championship and League One particularly. And I mean, even the League Two playoffs that have been going on recently in England, like this last week, you know, were pretty good. They were certainly more watchable, even with no crowd, again, than some of the Premier League action. So I think the amount on the line actually adds to it, particularly over two legs. I think the perfect procedure is to not have away goals count, because who doesn't want extra time and penalties when there's a place on the line? But yeah, can't have everything. I'd take a Championship playoff a lot of the time over a Premier League game towards the end of the season where there's not a lot to play for.
Yeah, definitely one of the best days I've had as a football fan was Burnley getting promoted at Wembley by winning the playoff final. I don't think you can really put into words what it feels like to see your team win a game of that sort of importance.
It's just I think it just culminates in that one moment. Like, you obviously promotion over a season is like a, you know, it's a 9-10 month effort, right? Plus whatever's gone before that in terms of preparation. Whereas it's that one moment that epitomizes.
It's like a cup final, isn't it?
It's like a cup final, except it makes you way more money and could potentially set your club up for the next however many years if you're smart about it, which is, you know, it's absolutely huge for clubs these days. I don't think you can beat it at all. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Kevin, American sports and playoffs are absolutely wild because they have like half the teams getting the playoffs. So like the idea of a one-off two-legged game for who goes up and who stays down must come across a bit odd to you
because you get so many chances. There's even a second leg.
Exactly.
Yeah. Americans don't believe in relegation either, do they? So
no.
what's relegation?
Yeah,
relegation is just being a Browns fan typically. In all of the American sports, you have much higher percentages of teams making the playoffs. I think the NFL for a while was just 12, but I think that's increased, and now they're talking about increasing it again. So it definitely keeps the interest from more fan bases way longer. Like we were just saying, the Bundesliga 2 came down to just about four teams. But obviously, this is the very late stages of the season if you kind of mapped a 16-game NFL season against a German football one. But yeah, it is definitely different. I like the bracket style. Obviously, in the States, in collegiate sports, you have in football, you have the Championship playoff now, and in basketball, which is the one that everybody, I'm not going to assume for everyone, but college basketball has March Madness, which is a 64-team bracket. So I do like that part of for example, the Championship playoffs, is that, you know, how many teams are four that do the...
Four, yeah.
Yeah.
So that end up going semi through. And then final.
Yeah, yeah. So I definitely like that part. And it's all two legs except the final one, right? So, yeah, it's interesting that it kind of changes format midway through. But I always find playoffs really exciting. And if anything, despite those, like, small differences, I think it's a more comfortable viewing experience for me where each match matters in and of itself rather than as part of, like, a massively accumulated points tally. Obviously comfortable with both now. But I really do enjoy the playoffs for that aspect of the, like, win or go home mentality.
Yeah, it's the jeopardy and it's also the variance as well, because you can get a team like
Huddersfield,
the Tennessee Titans, for example. I was going to use the American kind of analogy, but they can sneak into the playoffs with a much more inferior record than a lot of the teams they're going to go up against, and you could win three games and be in the Super Bowl, which is kind of, it's the textbook American dream thing, right? Like the underdog story and like the jeopardy that you add into that, which I think is really interesting as a recent convert to American football or the NFL, just as you tend to call it, I guess. But it's really, really exciting, and they do such a good job of promoting it that I can see why it works. The thing that it could be bettered by, I guess, is like the equivalent used to be the old UEFA Cup, you know, and it was just like a winning you through kind of situation rather than a elongated double group stage round robin. Like then we drop a load more teams in. Like that used to be brilliant when you used to get the UEFA Cup games where it was just like, right, winning you through. But again, that doesn't really stack up with TV money because they don't want all the big teams to go out straight away because then no one watches the games between the smaller teams.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? I mean, I suppose in America, it just means more teams are are involved. It keeps the interest going throughout the postseason. Obviously, in the NBA, they have like 7 games for a playoff match. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, same as baseball. Right?
Baseball. Well, baseball goes from 5 to 7. Playoff. It's 5 in the first couple of rounds, but yeah.
And there's
just drives me crazy.
There's a special game now at the beginning, isn't there, where you can sometimes,
The wild card play-in game.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, really burned my Pirates there, who are one of the biggest proponents of adding it so they'd have a better chance of getting into the playoffs. And then the first 3 years of the thing, we would have gotten into the regular playoffs, and in 2 of them, we lost in the play-in game. So,
Kev, I've got to say this, right? Yeah. Are you a supporter of every single Spurs version that exists in sports? Because you've picked a Bundesliga team that have missed the Champions League.
The playoffs, yep.
Yeah. You seem to have a baseball team that do exactly the same after advocating for a way that was going to be easier for them to get in. And obviously your beloved Tottenham are Spursy. So.
Yes, who also pushed for the removal of the away goals in the Carabao Cup and then the very next year would have gotten through against Chelsea and instead went to penalties and missed them all. Yeah, happens a lot to me.
They should be campaigning on Twitter to not have you support them, really, shouldn't they? There seems to be a correlation between the way that this goes.
Yeah, the English language Tottenham account is going to start taking some swipes at me.
I suppose, Matt, just to bring it back to the Bundesliga, which the podcast is rather than all the teams that Kev supports. From various sports. I wonder if there could be like a hybrid system where there's a playoff to get into the playoff. Would that be a bit much just to get more teams involved? It just seems odd to me that it's only the third place team then gets a shot at it. I'm just so used to English football, knowing that you can finish sixth or seventh. I think Burnley got promoted from finishing seventh from the third division maybe once. I don't know if that would be workable, John, or has it ever been discussed? Is this just how it's been in the Bundesliga for a long time and how it's always going to be?
I think there's a lot of frustrations with the current system amongst German fans. I don't know whether or not it's simply because the grass is always greener when it comes to these sorts of things, but the feeling is in this sort of instance has been, you know, Werder Bremen deserve to go down. They've been so bad. It just seems unfair that, you know, Heidenheim are going to miss out their chance of being in the Bundesliga just because they're going to come up against Werder and probably lose in those two legs. But I don't know. I kind of go both ways, and I quite like it because I get the best of both worlds. Right, I support a championship side, and despite the fact that Leeds have never won a playoff final in both championship and League One, I still do love the playoff system, and it does give a really, like you say, it does give a really interesting angle to the end of the season there. But I think this does too, and we've seen that. The notion of a sort of playoff for a relegation side is quite fun as well, where, you know, a team can get out of the relegation zone proper, but then they're still in with a chance of going down. And I quite like that as well. So maybe I'm just being selfish on this, but I quite like it.
Maybe. Well, touch wood, maybe Leeds will get a chance to be in the playoffs this season. I'd certainly like to see that.
Let's not go down that route, please.
I think we should leave it there before things get too ugly on the podcast. Kev, you know what I'm going to say? You're going to offend the listeners this time or try and get off with them?
Maybe I'm supposed to find the middle ground this week. Listeners exist, and I am appreciative of that fact. If you would like to be one of those people, you can subscribe.
Which you already are, because you're hearing this.
Oh, correct. So kind of preaching to the choir here. But what lovely singing voices you have. I can't not make it weird. What is wrong with me? But anyway, you can go to Spotify or iTunes and subscribe or follow it, either of them. Also via Acast, who pushes this very show out, as well as the rest of the EPL Roundtable shows, which are at EPL Roundtable and at Championship Pod. If you want to hear more things like how Leeds' win against Fulham probably means that they're going up, which John might resent me more for saying than Jamie saying they might fall to the playoff because of jinxing stuff. But anyway, yes, Acast, iTunes, Spotify, go follow us on all of them. I promise to not insult you or come on to you for the rest of this episode.
Beautifully done. You can also get us on Twitter as well at Bundesliga Pod. If you don't follow us already, please consider doing so. We'll have another podcast looking at those relegation playoff games. It's almost like we planned it. We talk about it and then do another show about it. But obviously they're either side of the Pokal final, so we haven't worked out how we're going to do that yet. But there will be another show before all the football stops in Germany. So yeah, like and subscribe, all that stuff, and follow us on Twitter and tell us what you think. So you can get us all individually on Twitter as well. I'm at Jamie Smith Sport, Kev is at Kavrov, Jim Knight Tweets is how you get Jim, and John is John_McKenzie. So at some point in the future, early July, when there's more Bundesliga football, we'll do another show. So yeah, come back and listen to that then. Thank you for listening. I've been Jamie Smith, it's been Bundesliga for Beginners. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.